Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Mandisa Mashego is the founder of Abantu Batu Congress, a party. A very good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
So it is great to speak to you. Tell us about Abantu Batu Congress Party.
Yes, the ABC, as it is commonly known, was established during the, you know, painful period of the hard lockdowns, or just before the hard lockdowns started during COVID. And it really just has proven to be a small little tiny survivor in the greater scheme of things, considering how difficult it is to operate economically and even socially under these very repressive, totalitarian almost conditions that we find ourselves in. And so for the city of Johannesburg, we have created a priority of economic solutions, a priority list of economic solutions to respond both to the COVID-19 economic collapse in South Africa, as well as the pre-COVID-19 economic collapse that was already preeminent, because as we all know, around March last year, we were already sitting in another economic recession, really, after we had reached a third quarter of negative economic growth and GDP had dropped, et cetera, et cetera. And so for the city of Johannesburg, it's extremely, extremely important that we revive certain economic sectors using the municipality. Many in the current epoch of government don't understand that the silos that have been created by the post-94, extremely incompetent, corrupt, and really immoral and ethical government of the ANC, those silos were really created to bring further suppression economically in South Africa. But there are clauses in the PFMA, the Public Finance Management Act, that will allow us to intervene, for instance, in rail, in the textile sector, in the chicken production sector from A to Z, from primary production, right up to agro-processing, distribution, logistics, the entire value chain. It will allow us to use that clause in the PFMA to bring about greater focus on renewable energy, as well as gas. We stated this upfront and made this public in our policy as early as last year already, and we're very surprised now, although imitation sometimes can mean flattery, but I don't know in the case of the ANC. We're very surprised now to hear suddenly that the city of Johannesburg is focusing on gas. We have a very in-depth and detailed gas strategy to remove the thermal need from the Eskom grid, which obviously is incapable. And I'm not sure if government even has the right sort of attitude or even intention when it comes to energy and the economy, of course, because we all know that without energy, you can't have any sort of formal, modern economy. It's just not possible. And so we have devised a very well-thought-out plan urgently to bring the entire city, as well as the city of eThekwini, where the president of APC is standing as a mayoral candidate. And we also have an additional, our focus is renewable energy, because we have also, in terms of the national policy outlook as the APC, a very progressive position on the environment, as well as the need to protect the environment and to actually advance very quickly on some of the things that need to be done. So we also have a backup generator energy program for both eThekwini and Johannesburg. And all of these solutions come with a manufacturing capacity and a manufacturing need, rather. And we all know that manufacturing is a primary economic imperative, is extremely necessary for mass job creation. As we know that majority black youth in all the townships and even in the suburbs and in the CBD are actually unemployed and have been systemically put in a position to be unemployed by the current government, despite them showing a very high prevalence of post-secondary education qualifications, especially young black women. So we are also going to push with positive discrimination policy for the city of Johannesburg and eThekwini where we pushed for 70% of available jobs to go to young black women. And the reason we say this is because all the social indicators are there in these two metros, that violence and rape and murder are increasing against black girls, and particularly under the age of, 30. So it's very evident that there's a direct link between economic empowerment and also economic disempowerment, and violence. So young black girls are very vulnerable economically. They are unable to take care of themselves. They are unable to protect themselves. And the only way to protect them and to help them defend themselves, because we are premised on independence, we're a party that is really against, growing dependency and also a growing, very frighteningly growing social welfare state. You would know that very recently the Social Development and SASA Agency under Social Development admitted that 31 million people in South Africa, South Africans, are now on the social ground system.
Absolutely.
When you consider that.
So what's the alternative to that? How would you approach social grants?
We have just stated that. We are going to push manufacturing-based industries. But at the same time, I don't know if you understood, I was giving you a context. I gave you some of the solutions. I said to you, we're going into textile. I can't
I'm not sure why you're getting defensive. It's not an unreasonable question.
I'm not defensive.
Because
I was just explaining. I came across as defensive, that's unfortunate. But I was explaining to you that I gave you several sectors.
And I happen to think it's brilliant what you're saying, by the way. I think it's absolutely phenomenal. But my concern is that, I guess the question that I'm asking is, there's still a period where you've got people who are dependent on grants. And whilst you ramp up manufacturing, and whilst we embolden people's employment and try and get people independent, we've still got this almost like a lag between people needing food today versus what a growing economy is about. And that's what I'm trying to figure out, how you balance the two of them.
So I think I'm very well known as an activist for, poor people, extremely poor people, especially women.
Right.
And so I wouldn't be part of anything as reckless as saying cancel social grant and
cut it completely. Right.
And your question, or rather the way you're framing it, makes it sound as though we are implying that there should not be social grants.
I'm just trying.
We've got to. Please allow me to ask.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Are you willing to allow me to ask?
Of course. I'm here to give you a platform. I'm fascinated and I have to like what you're saying.
No, I appreciate being engaged, but I also appreciate being allowed to contextualize what I say.
Sure, go for it.
One of the things I didn't say, and I'm trying to be efficient and quick about this, because I know that most of the media now want us to, do a quick sale thing here. And, and I don't agree with that kind of politics. And I don't agree, especially as a black woman, because we are in a very dire situation in South Africa. It's very important to contextualize everything. It's also important not to allow the neoliberal, discourse to continue pushing this social grant thing in the face of black people. And to contextualize why it's wrong for neoliberalism and capitalism, really, and the imperialist order, which now is sitting in a totalitarian state, where, for instance, you are forced to take an injection, and if you can't take a certain injection, then you can't get a job. It's very dangerous to say that, because we all know that the only people who need to be on permanent social grants are people who are permanently unable to take care of themselves,
such as
a quadriplegic person who is physically really not able to get up and go anywhere. I mean, they're lucky if they can sit on a computer and do work. Yes, of course, in the era of remote work environment, we can create opportunities there. You have to have a permanent social grant for a very old person who is unable to take care of themselves financially, especially in the context of a post-colonial apartheid South Africa, where Black people in the past didn't get certain economic opportunities, and so there's a certain age group who cannot be blamed. And should be.
Mandisa, we're unfortunately heading towards 9 o'clock. So if you can wrap up, give us your.
We have stated very clearly that the economy is top on our agenda. You can't have 31 million people on social grants of 350 rand a month.
100%.
Because that 350 rand doesn't even buy food for a week.
100%.
We need to create jobs through new economic sectors such as the renewable energy, and we've got a strong plan for that. We need the crime situation in Johannesburg to urgently be dropped from the level that it is now. We need the 70% black youth unemployment amongst black women to be dropped as a matter of immense urgency, hence our economic focus. We need the energy, the electricity and energy provision a component of the economy to be urgently prioritized. And we can guarantee that within a year in Johannesburg of implementing our gas strategy, our solar strategy, as well as other renewable energies, backup generator energies, a solution that will not rely on fuel, that we will be able to get the energy sector back and back up and running,
and
support entrepreneurs in a big scale, and also focus on the ICT sector, but while driving down crime, because crime is also another factor that is reducing jobs, that is also reducing investment. Nobody wants to invest in a
crime. They're going to throw me out of studio because my show ends at 9. It's now 9:01, so I do have to leave it there before I get into trouble.
I believe I was supposed to start the interview at 8:30 rather. So I'm not complaining, but you are the ones who robbed me of the time. But I really appreciate the opportunity nonetheless. Thank you very much.
That's where we leave it.